SeaWorld would probably be a better use of your time. Either way, you're gonna be in a splash zone. Who the hell wants to go see a so-called history tour with a disgraced former cable news host and a man who was just quoted as having said, I think it would be hard if George Washington came back from the dead and he chose Abraham Lincoln as his vice president. I think it would have been very hard for them to beat me.
Now, of course, that all goes out the window if they're riding a T-Rex. If Washington and Lincoln are in the same ticket riding a T-Rex, I'm worried about my chances.
A history tour with Trump is like the opposite of a Ken Burns documentary. Let's remember, Trump thought Frederick Douglass was still alive and thought the Civil War happened for no reason, saying, and this is his exact quote, people don't ask that question, but why was there a Civil War? Yeah, why don't people ask that question more? For years, people have just shrugged off the Civil War. I remember when we got to a history class and my teacher said, the Civil War was, like, so random. Now, apparently, that report touched a nerve because in response, O'Reilly threatened to sue the Politico reporter. O'Reilly said it was bullshit that ticket sales for Orlando have been lackluster, but when asked how many tickets had been sold at the venue, he said he didn't know. I don't have that information, he said. I do grosses. I'm not the ticket counter. O'Reilly threatened to sue the reporter, saying, you put one word in there that's not true, I'll sue your ass off, and you can quote me on that. It's nice to know O'Reilly hasn't chilled out even a little bit, given all that time to relax after he was canned. I guess part of me thought when you get forced out and publicly disgraced the way O'Reilly did, you might take up yoga or meditation, although even if he did, he'd probably still do it angrily. Now let's move into child's pose and everyone say your mantra. Bill, do you have a mantra yet?
Thing sucks!
Maybe you should try Pilates. You have a Pilates energy. Now, we should say the shows are in December, so they have plenty of time and could very well end up selling out. Who knows? But so far, it's not going great. The website Media pulled up the seating map for the Orlando show. And let's just say there were still a lot of seats left as of Friday morning. Yikes. We have more people in our audience, and we don't have an audience. But it makes sense that ticket sales are slow because even the people who go see Trump don't want a history lecture. They want him to get up on stage and say crazy about celebrities he met in 1982.
Steve Guttenberg, met him at Studio 54. Nice guy. Hated my guts. Police Academy. Remember the guy who made the sounds. Whoosh, beep, beep, zing. It was like the chainsaw was in the room. Lawnmowers? Couldn't he do lawnmowers? You bet he could. We love the funny sounds, don't we, folks?
We live in a society of laws. Why do you think I took in all those Police Academy movies? For fun? Well, I didn't hear anybody laughing, did you?
Except at that guy who made sound effects.
Hog, hog.
Yet another associate of former President Trump has been arrested. This time, it was the former chair of his inaugural committee, Tom Barrack, who was accused of illegally using his connections and access to Trump to lobby on behalf of a foreign government. Every day, it seems like we get new details about alleged crimes involving Trump's cabinet officials or his business associates or his friends. Some of them are investigations we didn't even know about. It's like a game of Clue where every answer is correct. Was it Professor Plum in the ballroom with the dagger? It was. How about Miss Scarlet in the kitchen with the lead pipe? Her too. Okay, what about Rudy in the billiard room with the candlestick to the nuts? Yep, every time. For example, we learned this week that an inspector general found that Trump Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross lied to Congress about the census and presented those findings to the Trump Justice Department, but Trump's DOJ declined to prosecute him. And then there's Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort. A week ago, we found out that a banker who arranged millions in loans to Manafort was found guilty of trying to use those loans to secure a job in the Trump campaign and administration.
It took a federal jury less than 2 hours to reach a guilty verdict in the case of former Federal Savings Bank executive Stephen Kalk.
He was accused of pushing risky loans through for former Donald Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort in exchange for a high-level position in the administration. Kalk got Manafort $16 million worth of loans from the bank despite concerns from board members over their high levels of risk. Manafort then recommended Kalk for an open undersecretary of the Army position.
Look, I'm sure this sort of bullshit happens all the time in D.C., and more people should be prosecuted for it. But my God, Trump and his cronies were so brazen about it. The Trump operation was such a toxic criminal enterprise that even people who are just tangentially related to him are getting thrown in jail now. At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if they get his Disney robot for using a shell company to dodge taxes. Don't look surprised. You know what you did. Calk apparently got a job on the Trump campaign by loaning Manafort millions despite his checkered financial past. And when Trump won, he actually wrote down a list of jobs he would want in a Trump administration.
Stephen Calk was convicted for giving Paul Manafort $16 million in questionable bank loans in 2016 and 2017. After Calk's first multi-million dollar loan to Manafort, Manafort put him on the Trump campaign's Economic Advisory Council. Prosecutors said Stephen Calk repeatedly ignored financial red flags in Manafort's loan applications because he desperately wanted to be Secretary of the Army and thought that's how he could get it. He listed in ranked order his favored, quote, perspective roles in the new administration. His number one choice was Secretary of the Army. If not that, he'd take, you know, Secretary of Commerce, Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, 18 preferred ambassadorships, everything from the UK to the Vatican to Singapore.
I guess if you're the kind of guy who ignores red flags, you're also the kind of guy who writes down a list of the quos you would like in return for your quids. Yeah, send a copy of this to Manafort, Trump, and the FBI. Is that dumb? Also, total aside here, but if you're a corrupt banker paying for a job in the administration, why would you want Secretary of the Army over Ambassador to the Vatican? I mean, the Secretary of the Army has actual stuff to do. I'm pretty sure the Ambassador to the Vatican just gets to hang out in Rome, drinking Aperol spritzes and dodging Vespas on cobblestone streets. Every now and then, you run into the Pope, and he says, I'm from Argentina. I don't talk like this. Of course, Calk wasn't the only Trump goon to write down incriminating material when prosecutors indicted Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg for alleged tax fraud earlier this month. It turned out they kept internal spreadsheets detailing the scheme. For example, according to the indictment, Weisselberg caused the Trump Corporation to issue corporate checks made payable to a Trump Organization employee who cashed the checks and received cash. The cash was given to Weisselberg for his personal use. The Trump Corporation booked this cash as holiday entertainment but maintained internal spreadsheets showing the cash to be part of Weisselberg's employee compensation. The dead giveaway there is that Trump would never pay for holiday entertainment. On Christmas, he would sit there with Eric and Don Jr. and watch The Grinch on TV. Why can't you idiots be more like this guy? Then yesterday, we got news about the arrest of yet another longtime Trump associate, Tom Barrack, who was an advisor to Trump's campaign and the chair of his inaugural committee, which, incidentally, is also under investigation, unrelated to these new charges.
Tom Barrack, the chairman of Trump's 2017 inaugural committee, has been arrested on a host of charges, including illegally lobbying for the United Arab Emirates, obstructing justice, and making false statements to federal agents. The Washington Post reports federal prosecutors say Barrack capitalized on his friendship with and access to Trump and other high-ranking government officials and his relationship with U.S. journalists to advance the policy goals of a foreign government without disclosing their true alliances.
So one of Trump's closest confidants and advisors was secretly using his access and connection to Trump to lobby the campaign and the administration as an unregistered agent of a foreign government. That means various Trump associates were either lobbying for or connected to Ukraine, Russia, Turkey, Qatar, and the UAE, among others. That place was like the Epcot World Showcase of corruption. This was supposed to be the America First campaign, the new working-class GOP. Instead, it was all a bunch of millionaire lobbyists, bankers, consultants, and private equity titans working for foreign countries. The so-called America First campaign was a bigger scam than Subway tuna. I'm not saying it's not tuna. All I know is last week, I found a wishbone in my footlong, and then I pulled it apart and wished for real tuna. Now, we already knew part of this story, thanks to an investigation by the House Oversight Committee during the Trump presidency, which found that Barrack had submitted drafts of a 2016 America First energy speech to the UAE for edits. He took a speech with America First in the title and submitted it to a foreign government for approval. That's like finding out the cop who did the DARE presentation at your high school snorted some fat rails off a cafeteria tray to get hyped up. Woo! Who's ready to learn about how bad drugs are? Wait, sorry, my friend Pablo Escobar did a rewrite on that. Who's ready to find out how bad drugs aren't? And according to the indictment released yesterday, Barrack, a longtime Trump friend, used that friendship to get language inserted into the then-candidate's energy speech in 2016 about the importance of working with our Gulf allies at the behest of Emirati officials. So thanks to Barrack, the UAE basically hired Trump to do a cameo for them.
UAE, it's Donald Trump, and I hear you have a birthday coming up.
But Barrack succeeded, as you can see from this clip of the speech in 2016, which was supposed to be about American energy independence and the so-called America First energy policy. Weirdly, there was a line out of nowhere where Trump seemed to backtrack and say, actually, we'll keep buying oil from Gulf states like the UAE.
We will become and stay totally independent of any need to import energy from the OPEC cartel or any nations hostile to our interests. Anybody hostile to our interests, believe me, we don't deal with them. We'll handle them just fine. Just fine. And by the way, there are plenty of them out there that are hostile to our interests. At the same time, we'll work with our Gulf allies to develop a positive energy relationship as part of our anti-terrorism strategy.
He makes it so easy for prosecutors. You can literally see the moment where he riffs off the cuff and then goes back to the line Barrick wrote for him. He totally contradicts himself.
Those Gulf states, they hate us, don't they, folks? Mark my words, we will never work with them ever. Those Gulf states can kiss my ass. At the same time, we will work with our Gulf allies because they love us and we love them. And remember, they do have a birthday coming up.
The Trump campaign and presidency were one big criminal enterprise, a toxic cesspool of corruption and self-enrichment. And clearly, there's still so much more we need to find out. Among many other things, it proves once again that the new, supposedly populist, working-class America First Republican Party is a total scam. In reality, it's just a bunch of wealthy oligarchs conning voters while they serve foreign interests and rake in millions. Every time we find out about yet another Trump corruption scheme, it's like taking a kick right to the
caulk. Donald Trump is a fascist.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Yeah, for some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Who's it?
Yari!
Yari!
Okay, I'm in. I'm gonna go after ya.
Yari!
No, Yari!
No, wait.
When it's springtime, I feel like, when it's wintertime, I feel like I'm in a cage and I'm all stuck and I can't get out. But when spring comes, I feel like they let me free so I can just do anything.
Yuri, I'm gonna get you.
Yuri.
No, Yuri.
Yuri.
In just spring, when the world is mud luscious, the little lame balloon man whistles far and wee. And Eddie and Bill come running from marbles and piracies. And it's spring, when the world is puddle wonderful. The queer old balloon man whistles far and wee. And Betty and Isabel come dancing from hopscotch and jump rope. And it's spring, and the goat-footed balloon man whistles far and wee.
Balloon! Balloon!
I was walking up 6th Avenue and balloon man came right up to me. He was round and fat and spherical with the biggest grin I'd ever seen. He bounced
That was Robin Hitchcock with Balloon Man on WGXC 90.7 FM. The Wyndham Farmers Market is held every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in front of Wyndham Local at 5410 Route 23 in Wyndham. You can find out all kinds of information about the Wyndham Farmers Market on the WGXC community calendar at WGXC.org, where all sorts of local events are listed. And you can even list your own if you go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event. You'll be read on the radio, just like the Wyndham's Farmers Market, which is held every Saturday through October 9th in front of Wyndham Local with meats, greens, honey, vegetables, and more. That's the Wyndham Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday on Route 23 in Wyndham.
Good for you. There's a story you once told, and it had to do with World War II.
And I know the one about the dentist.
Yes, this thing is stranger than fiction.
Well, it's true. To make it short, I had some dental work to be done. You know, they put in temporary fillings,
mm-hmm.
and I had never had it done before. What is it? Lead?
I think in those days they were putting in temporary lead fillings.
Yeah. It was quite a while ago.
During the war.
Yeah. And
World War II.
Yes. And I had several, upper and lower. And I went to work that day, and I got home very late. And it was, I don't remember what year, but it was after they had taken the Japanese out of California. And unfortunately put them in the camps, which was a very sad time in California. And we were all on our guard, you know, about many things. There had been a Japanese submarine sighted in Santa Barbara, mm-hmm. and a Japanese fighter plane had been sighted going over our home one evening. It was touchy times. Anyway, this particular night was about 1:15. And I was driving alone. I had 35 miles to drive, and it wasn't any fun. It was just a normal night. I wasn't frightened or anything. I was just driving along, and a road that I'd taken many times. And all of a sudden, I heard music. But I mean with a great beat, you know. And I looked down to turn off my radio, and it wasn't on. And I turned around and looked to see if there's anyone behind me. And the music was getting louder and louder and louder. And I realized it was in my mouth. And it was beating in my ears. I could hear the tune and everything. I recognized the tune. And then it started to fade out.
Yeah.
What the hell was that? You know, what could it possibly be? And I didn't know what it was. So the next day I mentioned it at the studio to Buster Keaton, and he said, what street were you on? Moore Park? And I said, yes. He said, you went by the radio station, you picked it up. Well, you got any fillings? I said, yes. He said, you picked it up in your teeth. Well, I could hardly wait to go by there again. And I didn't go by at the same time of night, so nothing happened. Right. There was no music playing, but I could hardly wait.
Call in a request.
Right. But about 5 nights later, because I had to wait, I don't know, a couple weeks for those teeth that were getting fixed, I was going up another street, almost home, and I was passing 4 vacant lots that were all raised so they could build the Birmingham Hospital. And as I went by there, I heard, I'm picking it up on my teeth.
You mean?
Yes. And I stopped the car. Then I looked around. The Morse code, like. And I backed the car up, and it got stronger and stronger, and I kept on backing it up until it really got strong, and my whole jaw was vibrating. Like this. And then I got the hell out of there. I went boom like this, because it was very late. And I couldn't wait to get back to MGM the next morning and tell the security office, and they found an underground Japanese transmitting
radio station.
Honest to God.
That is is that a great story?
True. But then they just found it was one of the gardeners calling one of his friends.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
No,
but they
true.
Really, yeah. And they captured them, and they, you helped?
I don't know what happened to them. I just turned it over.
Let's have a look at those teeth that helped win the war.
Professor, I don't see how a smack in the jaw could turn him into a radio.
Well, he's not a radio skipper. He's merely a simple form of receiver. You see, the high-frequency sound waves are emanating from the molar, which is pushed against...
Never mind all the technicalities, Professor. The thing I'm getting at is I've been belted many times before, but the only thing that ever came out of my mouth was a loose tooth.
From what I've been able to see, one of Gilligan's molars has been jolted out of position and shoved against a tooth with a silver filling. Open, Gilligan.
This is station KALU, Honolulu, the voice of Pineapple.
Close. Not too unusual a situation. It's happened a number of times.
Yes, but not to Gilligan.
Well, the atmospheric conditions, the metal in his mouth, the shape of his skull have all combined to make him a receiver.
Is there any chance, Professor, instead of being a receiver, could we make him a sender so we could get a message to Hawaii?
No, I'm afraid not, Skipper. And unless I miss my guess, the position of his head and his body will bring in different stations. Watch. Open up, Gilligan.
Solid steel shower, man.
Very Camden, Texas.
Well, I'll be darned.
Gilligan, your tooth may go back into position by itself, or perhaps I'll have to find a non-conductive substance to coat it with. Or maybe I'll pull the tooth. Well, you make the decision. I have to keep checking these weather reports.
What's the latest on the typhoon?
Still headed this way.
Which is bearing down on the southwest Pacific area is...
Gilligan, can you close your mouth?
And there will be hourly reports from this station.
You are going to have to stay away from this transistor radio, Gilligan. The signals you're emitting are loud enough to cause interference.
Well, I'll take him over and show the girls. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our little buddy could be turned into a color TV?
Yes, ma'am. This is Dennis Oliver.
Yes, you called and hung up on me.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I got disconnected somewhere. Yes, ma'am. I had a question for you, hoping maybe you could help me with something. I don't have no dentist up here in this area. I just moved up here from Houston, Texas. And before I left down there, I had some gold and a silver teeth is put in my mouth, you know. And lately, when I lay down at night, this may sound crazy,
but it starts to hurt.
Now I can hear a radio station.
I don't know anything about that one. Honest to God, I've never heard of that.
You hadn't?
No, sir. I
yes,
really
ma'am.
Hadn't.
I really
I'm
can't.
Not making fun. I really hadn't heard it.
No, yes, ma'am. But I mean, I tell you what now, seriously.
You really can hear?
I can hear.
Are the two teeth right side by side?
Yes, ma'am. They're right side by side. And I tell you what, my old lady says she can't hear it or nothing, but I can't even go to sleep for it. You ever heard anything like
no,
that?
No, but let me go ask Dr. Rachel.
Well, just a minute. Let me. I don't want you to bother him. I just want to ask you a couple of things. Because I know this sounds crazy. You know, she says she can't hear him, and I done called. I called two dentists down there in Houston before I left. The one that did it was out of town, and he said, of course, the lady worked for him to act like she thought I was crazy or something. And I called another one I didn't know, and they act like they thought I was crazy. But really, it's been like 1992 since I was ever in any kind of, you know, had any kind of mental problems or anything. But I'm all right now. But I was wondering. You think, like, when I talk, that people could hear me on the radio? When I'm talking?
I don't have any idea. The only thing that you might be experiencing...
Yes, ma'am.
...is what they call galvanic shock.
Galveston.
Galvanic?
Galvanic.
Shock. And that's where you have two different types of metals side by side...
Yes, ma'am.
...rubbing together.
Uh-huh.
And that can cause something called galvanic shock.
Galvanic shock.
Yes, sir. But as far as anything else, I have never heard of anything else. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying I've never heard of it.
Wait.
But I do know that you can get galvanic shock, and it'll make you feel like if you've ever taken your fork and stuck it accidentally into one of your fillings and how it makes you just sharp pain.
Yes, ma'am.
Now that I can, and it could be what you're experiencing is galvanic shock, but I've just never heard of it in that form.
Well, it won't, you know, you said shock, it won't eventually get where it electrocute you or
no,
something,
sir,
like I pick
no,
up a spark
sir,
off or something.
It'll just be, have you ever bit down on something on a fork and it would shock your mouth because you hit a filling with that?
Yes, ma'am, I know what you mean.
Well, that's the only thing that you'll be experiencing, as far as I know.
You don't think there's no way y'all could stop this from doing this, so?
That's why I'm saying, let me go and ask Dr. Rector. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay, but I tell you, while you're in there, would you ask Miss Hen, if he can't stop it altogether, you know, at least reckon if he could just put it on a different radio station or something. You know, I don't particularly like the kind of music it's playing, you know.
Well, I don't think we can do that, sir.
You don't?
No, sir.
soaring on its metal waves. Nobody passes us in the deep quiet of the dark sky. And nobody sees us alone out here among the stars. In these metal waves.
Hi, I'm Deborah from Athens. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acra.
There are all sorts of different local events coming back to this area, and you can read about many of them in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. You can even add your own event there and have them read on the radio, like this event, Sunday, July 25th, Lucy Dacus, Matador Records recording artist, performs at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock at 8 p.m. with local songwriter Laura Stevenson opening. That's Lucy Dacus at the Colony Cafe, Sunday, July 25th. Read more about it in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz and Son Roofing, a local, family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026 or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dan and Mary Udell of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here are some highlights from the WGXC Newsroom's Week in News.
Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union. The village of Hoosick Falls has reached a settlement with three of the companies believed to be responsible for the pollution of its public and private water supplies left contaminated with perfluorinated chemicals that were used at factories in the village. Saint-Gobain, Performance Plastics, and Honeywell International, and later 3M and DuPont Company, have agreed to pay $65.25 million to settle a federal lawsuit that will secure cash payments and long-term medical monitoring for thousands of property owners and residents. The preliminary settlement must be approved by a federal judge. Stephen G. Schwartz, lead plaintiff's counsel in the class action case, said, and I quote, "This is an excellent outcome for the residents of Hoosick Falls and the town of Hoosick who have suffered the consequences of PFOA contamination to their drinking water," end quote. The settlement is intended to compensate current and former residents for the potential health consequences of their exposure to the chemicals, as well as the potential loss of property value, and to provide a system of early detection for any related health issues they may suffer in the years ahead. The payments under the proposed settlement could be divided among roughly 1,800 qualifying property owners, and the amounts each would receive will depend on multiple factors. Michelle Baker, one of the plaintiffs whose private well in the town of Hoosick was polluted with PFOA, said, and I quote, "I'm just absolutely grateful. I'm overwhelmed. I'm just thankful for the hard work that everyone put into this. I hope and pray the families that have been affected find some hope and peace in the settlement that has been reached." Read the full story in the Times Union. Bloomberg Law reports that the U.S. House of Representatives voted for a comprehensive bill, 241 to 183, to require the Environmental Protection Agency to regulate the most concerning, and I quote, "forever chemicals," end quote. Local Democrats, Representative Antonio Delgado and Sean Maloney, all voted for the PFAS Action Act in 2021, while Republican Representative Elise Stefanik voted against the measure. Only 23 Republicans supported the bill. The chances of it passing in the U.S. Senate with 10 Republicans voted seem slim. If it does pass, and President Joe Biden signs the bill, it would require the EPA to establish a national drinking water standard for PFOA and PFOS within 2 years. It would also prohibit unsafe incineration of PFAS waste and require the EPA to place discharge limits on industrial releases of PFAS. And you can read more about this story at Bloomberg Law. Susan Arbetter is reporting for Capital Tonight. Former U.S. National Speed Skating Champion and Child Advocate Brittie Farrell, Wednesday, July 11th, announced she is running for Congress, looking to unseat Republican Elise Stefanik. The Saratoga Springs Democrat said, and I quote, "Listen, I think that we need someone who is going to go to Washington and remember us. Elise hasn't, right? We need someone who is going to work on the issues that are important to us. Elise hasn't done that, and I will," end quote. Farrell was a member of the U.S. National Speed Skating Team between 1998 and 2014, setting three American records during her tenure. She later disclosed that she had been abused by her much older coach. Farrell frequently spoke about her experience to the members of the media as well as lawmakers. Her advocacy was widely seen as integral to the passage of the Child Victims Act in 2019. Farrell later founded a nonprofit organization, America Loves Kids, that supports survivors of abuse. As for her ability to defeat the incumbent, Farrell argues that Stefanik is playing into the nation's divisive political rhetoric and that her extreme partisanship is not helping the district. She explained, and I quote, "Is it going to be hard? Yeah, it's going to be hard. But I'm used to hard challenges and fighting for other people, and that's why I'm getting into this," end quote. Farrell said her priority issues include access to health care, good public schools on the K-12 and college level, and universal broadband. Farrell is the third candidate to enter the race to unseat Stefanik. The other candidates include Matthew Pertorti and Ezra Watson. Read the full story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. The Mid-Hudson News Network is reporting the Dutchess County Board of Elections is being sued by Bard College, its president Leo Botstein, and several other petitioners to have its Bertelsmann Campus Center designated as a polling location for Red Hook District 5. Similar action in 2020 resulted in State Supreme Court Justice Maria Rosa allowing two polling places in the district at the Annandale on Hudson campus and at the nearby Church of St. John the Evangelist as a one-time compromise. Bard has been trying since 2005 to have a permanent polling place located on its campus. Each year, though, the college has been denied, which their attorneys say, and I quote, defies fact, logic, and most importantly, the law, end quote. Former Dutchess County Democratic Elections Commissioner Beth Soto and others say the polling place should be moved to Bard. The Red Hook Town Board also support having the polls at Bard, but unless County Republican Elections Commissioner Eric Haight and Democratic Elections Commissioner Hannah Black agree, the voting location cannot be moved unless a judge orders it. A postcard mailed to voters by the Board of Elections in April was, and I quote, confusing, end quote, according to court papers. While it cited the church as the official District 5 polling place, it also said, and I quote, "You may continue to vote at the accessible polling place on this card," end quote. Attorneys argue that because the church is not accessible under the terms of the American Disabilities Act, the postcard is misleading. For that reason, the lawyers are asking the state Supreme Court to designate Bard as the polling place for District 5. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
In the West Texas desert, billionaires rocket above as migrants die below. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast.
Five, four, command and start. Two, one.
The West Texas town of Van Horn was in the news this week as the site of the private space flight launched by the world's richest man, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. He made a 10-minute suborbital trip in his New Shepard space capsule, along with his brother and two others. Their short odyssey, costing an estimated $2.5 million per minute, rocketed them high above the unforgiving Chihuahuan Desert that straddles the U.S.-Mexico border. For these giddy space tourists experiencing weightlessness, it was the trip of a lifetime. Far below, countless others make a far weightier trip, attempting the perilous journey from Mexico across the desert furnace on foot, seeking refuge in the United States. Many of these migrants, exhausted and dehydrated, perish in the desolate terrain. Armando Alejo Hernandez attempted the trip in early May. For more than a decade, Armando was one of the more than 12 million undocumented residents in the United States, a vast, perpetually hounded and harassed population without whose labor our economy would collapse. Armando and his wife had two sons, both U.S. citizens by birth, before he was deported in 2016. After spending five formative years without his father, his elder son asked his dad if he could visit them in the U.S. Armando promised he would find a way. All we know of Armando's trek through the desert comes from his short voice messages and a single photo texted to his son. He described the clothing he was wearing, a black sweatshirt and blue pants. Was he predicting he might need to be rescued or his body identified? The photo was taken from the base of a slope. The ascent Armando faced looked brutal through deep, dry grass, obscuring sharp rocks, cacti, and spiny shrubs. Just behind the high, distant ridge, a large, round, white, human-made structure appeared. As he was in Hudspeth County, southeast of El Paso, the structure is almost certainly the U.S. government radar installation atop Eagle Peak. The climb up Eagle Peak would have been grueling. Armando had already told his teenage son he was out of water, that his cell phone was almost dead, and that he didn't think he could go on. Had he made it to the radar installation, and from there the winding road leading north, he would have needed to walk another 20 miles with no food or water to reach Interstate 10. "I don't think I can climb to the top of the mountain," Armando said in Spanish in a recorded voice message he sent to his son. He sounded tired as he spoke through a whipping wind that made his message hard to hear. Fernando Garcia of the El Paso-based Border Network for Human Rights told us over the phone more than 10,000 people have died crossing the border in the last 25 years. "That's too high a price to pay to migrate to the USA," he said. Garcia has spent decades assisting migrants along the border. Garcia explained, "Now that the enforcement is so extreme, people are crossing at even more remote places east of El Paso through rough terrain. There's nothing there. People are just dying on their way to Highway 10, he said. Fernando Garcia, who recently met with Vice President Kamala Harris at the border, criticizes the Biden administration for continuing President Trump's Title 42 program, exploiting an obscure section of U.S. health law that allows deportations without any due process during a public health crisis. Since Trump invoked the law on March 20, 2020, hundreds of thousands of migrants have been expelled. In the past, migrants at risk in the desert could turn themselves in to Border Patrol and at least get a hearing before an immigration judge. Now, facing immediate expulsion if caught, Garcia told us they're taking increasingly dangerous routes through the desert. Hudspeth County Administrator and Emergency Management Coordinator Joanna McKenzie told the news outlet Border Report that six migrants are known to have died in the harsh terrain in the past 2 weeks alone, as temperatures rise and rescue resources are stretched thin. Many of those lost go forever uncounted. Armando's deportation under President Obama began a five-year separation between him and his sons. Now the cruelty of U.S. immigration policy may well consign these two bright boys to be fatherless forever. As the world's news organizations gathered in Van Horn, Texas, focusing their cameras upward at Jeff Bezos' rocket, showering the world's richest man with unrelenting free media coverage, below their gaze, we sadly believe, may lay the remains of Armando Alejo Hernandez and so many more. Armando didn't aspire to go to space, but only to close the space, that soul-crushing space, imposed by the United States between Armando and his sons. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend.
Well, on Saturday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise sunny with a temperature high near 80 degrees. A chance of showers and thunderstorms on Saturday night with increasing clouds in a temperature low of around 63 degrees. And on Sunday, there'll be showers and possibly a thunderstorm. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 79 degrees. And scattered showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. on Sunday night. It will be partly cloudy with a low of around 65 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
What else do DJs get? I mean, we're just voices in the air, but we're what makes radio live. And what do we get for it? Seems like every year you pack everything up, move to another town. Gets harder and harder to find a station that'll let you program music you want to play. And, well, you're 40 and there's some kid half your age who will take your job and do it for half the money. And then you find yourself making silly demands. Free coffee. But that's my little moment of honesty, so we can get back to the nonsense.
Thank you. It's alright. It's alright if you don't. I'm not afraid of you running away, honey. I get the feeling you won't. There is no use in pretending. Your eyes give you away. Something inside you is feeling like I do. We said all is to say, baby, go ahead and give it to me. Break down, I wanna take me through the night. Break down, not standing here, can't you see? Break down, it's alright. It's alright. Give it to me. Break down, honey, take me through the night.